time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by the K-Band Savings Bank and Moynihan Lumber. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro. What's going on, everybody? Final show in June. We'll be officially halfway through the year. How did we get here? I don't know. Well, we are going to be short and sweet on this intro because not a lot quite happening at the moment, except for the big reveal of what went down in New Hampshire spring sports from, you know who, the great Thomas King, the king of the Nashua Telegraph. Thomas King will give us his seasonal update. I think we're going 4 years now with him. After every high school season, he gives us the New Hampshire recap. He's got a couple state title teams to talk about. He's got some insights on New Hampshire, and he's got some gripes. It wouldn't be a Tom King interview if we didn't have some media gripes about how he was treated at Delta Dental Stadium by those meanies in Manchester, New Hampshire, my town, who hosted some state title baseball games, and Thomas wasn't happy. You have to wait till the whole interview to hear the end of that one, but it's a riot. Who am I kidding? I'm an old man when it comes to locals journalism, and I complain too to him. I get it. But indulge us, please. All right, so we're going to move out of the way for Tom King, and then after that, just do a little recap, some final thoughts.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps and burgers, specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salt. Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hey, North Shore sports fans, mark your calendars. On Sunday, July 27th, Boston Bruins goaltender Jeremy Swayman, that's right, the Swayman, is coming to Kowloon Restaurant in Saugus for a can't-miss autograph event presented by, of course, the great Sports World. That's right. Get up close with one of the NHL's top young netminders from noon to 2 p.m. on that day at New England's most iconic Chinese food restaurant, Kowloon, located at 948 Broadway in Saugus. You know where it is. That's Route 1. All right. Autograph prices, $69 for a regular item, $89 for premium items, and just $20 more if you want to personalize inscription. Spots are very limited, so if you're a diehard Bruins fan or shopping for one, this is your chance to score a rare collectible and meet Swayman in person. Phone orders are welcome, 781-233-7222, to reserve yours today. And again, presented by Sports World, New England's largest sports memorabilia shop, proudly based right in Saugus, the heart of the North Shore, since 1986. Can't make it? Give them a call if you want more information. 781-233-7222. Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. Dominic Castro, and we are here with our one and only guest, the seasonal appearance of the one and only, the King, Thomas King, Nashua Telegraph. What's going on, TK?
Seems like just yesterday when we did this, Dom, the spring goes by fast, doesn't it?
It really does. It's probably the fastest season. I don't know why. Yep. It's just kind of boom, May, done. May's the grind, and then June, forget it, it's over.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but the whole spring is a grind because you're cramming everything into a short amount of time, and there's a lot of sports.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get into tournament time, and you've only got 2 weeks to basically go through everything.
Yeah.
So, and the dominoes, you know, as usual, start to fall, and then you're, okay, we're here, where do we have conflicts, where we go, the whole bit, and you're looking to see, you know, how things go in terms of upsets, either way, you know, yeah. Cinderella teams, the whole bit. Spring is, I always think that spring is the season for the most upsets and Cinderella teams.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got baseball and softball in there, you know. I mean, well, softball maybe not because you can throw an ace pitcher every single game.
Right, right.
But baseball, it's like up for grabs. Yeah.
Yeah, and Londonderry is, you know, dominant, and they were dominant again. But, and that was no surprise. But the thing is, with some of these sports, and this year especially, this year, spring, there's a lot of distractions. There's proms. There's graduations. There's other senior activities.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things. And this year in New Hampshire, it was right on the same schedule as Massachusetts, which is odd. Usually it ends a week before. But because Thanksgiving was late this year, the football season was late. And then all of a sudden, you run into the tournaments. The tournaments, the early rounds ran into graduations, which is almost unheard of. Usually it's the championship games that you got to adjust and reschedule and everything else.
Yeah.
So this was a puzzle. This was a hard puzzle to put together this spring.
I'll tell you, you know, speaking of those senior distractions, you know, the ones I am jealous of is those seniors who finish school but still play a sport. So they can sleep till like 11 a.m., noon.
Plenty of them.
Get a late breakfast or early lunch, go to practice. You know, it's like, what a life. Right. What a life.
No school. Plenty of them. Bishop Girton graduates on like the first Sunday in June, which was June 1, I believe.
I think the whole month off. Yeah.
They were out. You know, so, and a lot of other schools had the same thing. So, interesting time. In terms of state champions, we had a couple in the area.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a productive spring. I thought it was pretty good. So we'll start with, I think the one sport that takes up a lot of time is lacrosse because there's so many teams.
Yeah.
And you know, so many different rounds, the whole bit. It was an interesting lacrosse season here in New Hampshire. Portsmouth in Division One is the dominant team in girls. And they're quite a story. They moved up from two because they had won four straight in two.
Huh.
So they moved up to one. They lost in the finals their first year and then won the last two. And they repeated as champions this year. And they and in that final game, it was a battle against Souhegan of Amherst.
Yeah.
And the ironic thing about that is the coaches are sisters. Two coaches.
Whoa. Ironic. How about historic? Has that ever happened?
Well, they faced off in the tournament before, but not in the final.
Wow.
Yep. Jojo Curo of Portsmouth and McKinley Curo Sibidorn of Souhegan. And it's you know, Portsmouth had the edge in most of the meetings, and that was the case this year. Souhegan took a 3-2 lead after the first quarter, and everybody's like, oh, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And then Portsmouth kind of asserted themselves offensively. Once a team in lacrosse that's favored goes on that run, the other team knows that they've got a problem, and it gets in their heads, I think, a little bit, and you start to fall behind, and that's what happened in this game.
Yeah.
So
incredible. Did you do a dual coach press conference after the game, or you separate?
No, you just talk to one, talk to the other.
Yeah.
But it's a story that has repeated itself over time. So the only difference was it was in the finals. Parents are there. You know, the parents are really great people. I know them, and it's an interesting story. It's the story of the spring, I think, every year. The one thing at girls lacrosse locally that I think that was a surprise was Bishop Girton. They looked like they were pretty good midway through the year, and they ran into a lot of different problems. And they had trouble with a lot of out-of-state teams. They had a big overtime win with Pinkerton Academy, which is the Final Four team. And I thought that Girton would be on the way. The question was, could they get past Sauhegan a second time? They lost to them in the regular season.
Yeah.
First time that Sauhegan has ever beaten them. But this time, Sauhegan beat them again in the quarterfinals. A low-scoring quarterfinal. I think it was 7-4. So So that was the thing. So the girls lacrosse kind of dominated. Division One, no surprise. Now get this. We've said it every year. Bishop Girton, they become the dominant program in Division One boys lacrosse. Mm-hmm. They have reached. Are you sitting down for this?
Mm-hmm. I am.
They have reached 20 straight state championship games.
the Girton Cup. The Girton Cup.
Right. I think they've won 14, 12 to 12 or 14. I think they lost six of them.
Yikes.
And wow. So we're dating back way back, but they have dominated now more so than ever. They play. And the thing is, you never know how it's going to happen because the seedings get a little skewered because the out-of-state games count and they play some of the real top Boston College High. Uh-huh. They play St. John's Prep. They play a lot of, you have to play 12 New Hampshire teams, 12 teams in your own division to qualify.
Yeah. Those are your two finalists in Mass was BC High versus St. John's Prep. Yeah.
Right. And they play them all, they play five out of state. They play a couple of real good Connecticut teams, a couple in Rhode Island. They play and they value the state championship. And they play those games to get better to win the state championship. That's how they look at it. So they've done it in other sports, too. They've done it in girls basketball. They do it in hockey. And those games never used to count. So they would schedule a couple extra games. They'd play a lot of games. But then they cut back because on their schedule, they went back to their regular schedule because about a decade ago, maybe even more so, the NHIAA said, okay, the out-of-state games will count in the standings. It's just a question of how many points you get depending on the team you play and where they are in terms of their enrollment and what division they would fall in, what New Hampshire would consider a Division One team, a Division Two team, the whole bit.
Gotcha.
The Girton girls basketball team, Dom, ran into that. We talked about this the last time. They ran into that when they had to play a quarterfinal game on the road at Concord Christian, a team that they beat in the season opener and had the same record as, by all accounts, a tiebreaker should get them home court. It didn't because they played a team in Connecticut that was considered a Division II team. They beat them, didn't get the full point value, and that's what happens.
So there is the strength of schedule component in New Hampshire.
Yes, there is. Yep, yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mass only started that like 4 years ago. And it's all that. That's all it is. I mean, it's just that points ranking system.
Right.
You know, and it seems to work out. I mean, you see a lot of Final Fours that are like the one and through five seeds or four seeds or six. It's fairly, except for like baseball, because that blows up everything usually.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, baseball always blows everything up. I know. Yeah. So,
but Girton, 19-5, convincing win over number one seed Pinkerton in the final.
And those teams used to have a great rivalry. Pinkerton has slid down a little bit. Their legendary coach, Brian O'Reilly, who's the athletic director, he handed the job over, and now they're on their second coach since he did that.
Oh, okay.
He also coaches football. He's still coaching football. But so they've slipped a little bit. But talking to the Girton coach, Brian Cameron, son of the legendary Girton coach, Chris Cameron, who still is an assistant, Brian said that Pinkerton has made more strides with their youth over the last couple of years. He said, you're going to see the difference. They were the number one seed, but no one thought that they were favored in this game.
Yeah.
And it used to be, and this was a really interesting component of the rivalry when those teams were on equal footing. Whoever won the regular season game lost in the championship game because they would always meet in the finals.
Yeah.
And for a stretch there in 2015, 16, 17, 18, all the way through that. And then once COVID hit, it all changed. And Girton coming back has been the champion ever since. They've won in 21, 22, 23, 24, and now 25.
Yeah.
So
not really challenged. I mean, it looked like Bedford gave him a little bit of a battle there. 12-8.
Yeah, it was, and that was the 12, you know, it was 12-4, I think, at one point, and they got some goals late. Their in-state winning streak is 70-some-odd games. I don't know the exact number.
They haven't lost in New Hampshire.
They haven't lost. Pinkerton's the last team to have beaten them, and that was in the 2019 finals.
They are undefeated this decade. Unbelievable.
In New Hampshire.
Yeah. Same coach? Right. All these years is 20 straight.
Chris Cameron handed the reins to his son Brian in the fall this past year.
Oh, okay.
But he's still very much involved.
Yeah.
He's still on the sidelines. He takes the special team. He takes the defense or the offense. Brian takes another unit. Assistant coach takes another unit. They're all co-coaches in terms of Brian. I asked Brian about it. He said they all feel like they're co-coaches, but yeah. Brian's the one now who's front and center. Brian said he realized during the season. He goes, oh, wait a minute. I'm the one who's got to call timeout. You know, it's just, you know, an honest thing. He was being very honest. I like the kid. He's a nice guy. Played for Girton. He played in college, played in Division I. And a real good, you know, and he's also, I think he's a professional player too. So,
yeah.
You know, sport of lacrosse is dominated by BG and it's a strong, you know, it's a strong program. Yeah. And at some point, New Hampshire may have to do something about it in terms of trying to get the public schools in Division I. Now, Division II doesn't have that issue. Division II and III, they don't have that issue.
Yeah.
So now Girton almost lost to Exeter in the regular season 7-6. I covered that game. They had to rally to win it. Wow. Yep. But the other champion is Plymouth in Division III. I saw them knock off a school that I cover that you familiar with, Campbell at Litchfield.
Mm-hmm.
Campbell was up 4-0 in the game, and lower division games are a little bit more lower score, and the shooting acumen is not as good. And Campbell just got away from the game plan. Plymouth rallied and they beat him in overtime 7-6. Great game. Fabulous game. It was up in Laconia. I drove all over the state. In a stretch of 3 days, right? Exeter.
Yeah.
Then the next day up to Concord, up to Plymouth for softball. Plymouth.
Yeah.
For the Division One softball semis.
Came
downstate, stopped in Concord for the Sauhegan Division II baseball semifinal. And figured I'd have plenty of time. Get there between 7:45, 8:00. High school games don't end in an hour, right?
No.
Right? Unless there's a mercy rule.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. 4 innings, 5, or whatever.
I got there with 1 out to go. And so he got up 12-1. I got everything. Everything I needed, you know?
Screenshot of the book. That's all you need.
That's all you need. And a couple of quotes and a photo at the end of the game. Bingo, bango, bongo.
Done.
Two places at once. Now, here's a play. I want to run this by you.
Mm-hmm.
In the semifinals, the Pinkerton pitcher, was awarded a no-hitter over Girton.
Gotcha.
However, Girton's leadoff hitter in the fifth inning, maybe the sixth, the runner on base, runner at first, she drops down a bunt. But she's down. They're down 5-0. So she's not sacrificing. She wants to get on base.
Yep.
She drops down a bunt to try to get a base hit. The Pinkerton first baseman is asleep at the switch and doesn't run over to cover the bag. Probably thinking the ball is going to go foul.
Yes.
The Pinkerton pitcher picks up the ball, turns to first, and just throws it.
With no one home.
With no one there.
Yep.
Now, the throw would have been an error regardless because it was way wide of the bag. No one could have caught it.
Yeah.
But there was no one covering the bag, and the Girton runner was already there. Yeah. And they ruled it an error. Now, it is an error on the play because the runner, the Girton runner was at first was able to go to third on the error. And the batter was able to go to second on the throwing error.
Mm-hmm.
But the batter would have been safe at first, regardless. There was no one covering the bag.
Yeah. If she doesn't throw it and notices there's no one covering base hit, if she does throw it, that's a in the books, I think that's a wild throw, even though it was perfect throw. Was an error anyway, right? It was a bad throw anyway.
It was a bad throw. It was wide, but there was no one covering first base.
There was no one covering the base. Yeah.
And the Girton runner was already there.
She would have been safe, you think?
She would have been easily safe. Oh yeah.
Oh, ahead of the throw.
She was about two steps away from the bag when the throw was made.
Oh, that's a hit. I think that's a hit, no question about it, because
there was no one covering the base.
No,
so she's about maybe one, 2.5, 3 steps, maybe, but she's right there. However, there's no one at the base.
Yeah, yeah.
A perfect throw would have not been caught. It would have gone right into the outfield because there's no one there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I don't know if I'll have it in front of me, but I think like at its core, it's like if a successful transaction was made, and were they to be out with that, but it was not successful, error. But if she beat the throw, that's a hit. Like, if she beat the throw, that's a hit. You know, she stepped on the bag, then the throw sailed over the head.
Yeah, that didn't happen. She was right, you know, maybe two steps away, but there was no fielder at the bag, and there was no fielder at the base.
And even if there were, it would have been,
Well, if there were, it would have been an error.
Yeah,
because the throw was wide. So they would have ruled it an error.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is there was no fielder covering the bag. You can't award a mental error. So you've got to give,
a hit.
Yeah.
And it's like she threw it, and that's a moot point. I guess I can see your side too. Yeah. Like she threw it, moot point. They didn't cover. Yeah. She's safe. Right. She would have been safe regardless. It does because that, she would have been safe. Yeah. So she was safe. So I'm thinking hit.
Yeah. That's but they said no. There's an official score. They said no. So because they saw the throw, they weren't even looking at the bag. They saw the throw go wide. That's it.
I'm going to put it into my AI bot and see what ChatGPT says.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I know it. but that was Girton lost in the semis 5-0 and they were out. And that was our last softball team. So softball was all done. Souhegan was the team. Baseball. They were able to go undefeated in Division II. They lost one game to a Division I team. They lost to Dover in Cooperstown during school vacation week. They went to Cooperstown, conquered Dover and Souhegan, and they all played each other. And they beat Concord, Souhegan beat Concord, but they lost to Dover. That's their only loss. They finished 20-1, I believe, 21-1.
Wow.
Won the state title. 4-3 in a tight game let's see who they beat.
John Stark.
Yes, John Stark of Ware. Yep.
Yeah.
And they did not play during the regular season. So John Stark got 2 runs in the top of the first. So Egan got a run in the bottom of the first, tied it up in the second, and then went ahead in the third up 4-3 and up 4-2, allowed one more run. Braden Hickman was the pitcher, and he won. He had to come out This is the irony. The pitching rule in New Hampshire, the number of pitches and everything else, the limit for any game is 125. He was pushing 120 to start the inning. He got the first out. So he got two outs. And then Chris Metz, the head coach, came out to the mound. And I said, wow, he's going to come out. And I'm not thinking of the pitching rule. But then I realized, okay, Hickman's got to come out. And this is a this was his second state championship. He was a wide receiver in football. And actually hurt his elbow in football and couldn't pitch for half the season this year. And then was able to finally pitch later in the second half of the year. But he could play the outfield. He could do DH, stuff like that. But he could not fire a fastball with that elbow. So anyway, Hickman comes out and Ethan Gaudette comes in to get the last out and gets it. Now, here's the irony. Gaudette was the starting pitcher in the finals the year before and just couldn't find the plate and got clobbered in a 13-3 loss against Bo.
Oh,
and here comes the kid as a sophomore, and here comes the kid as a junior come out and be on the mound when they win the state championship.
I love it.
That's a pretty good story, you know?
That is. That is.
And they only lost, they only lost a couple of kids from last year. So they had that goal from day one that they were going to play and that they were going to get back to the finals.
Yeah.
And
how did he end it? Do you remember? Was it just a put out or like a,
I believe it was a fly out. It was a fly ball left field. It was a shoestring catch.
Oh.
You know?
Nice.
So,
talk about coming full circle. Good for him.
Yes, exactly. So that was a real good thing. The other story of the spring locally here was Milford, New Hampshire, in Division II boys track. Now, they won the Division II indoor title with seven kids. That's all they had. Seven kids. You don't need as many indoors.
No, you can win with two kids if they have like two first places each, right? 40 points.
I get all the points and, you know, because the events are fewer and everything else.
Yeah.
They probably had about 10 to 12 for outdoor.
Yeah.
And they won the outdoor title as well. So for a fairly small school, they're Division II.
Yeah.
On the outskirts of Nashua, you know, Milford, New Hampshire, kind of a country team, you know, it's kind of a blue collar town. And they put together a pretty good year, four state championships, two track, girls basketball in Division II, and boys soccer in Division II.
Not bad.
And two of the athletes on the track team come away their senior year with three plaques, three state championships.
Jeez.
They were on all the boys teams. They were on the soccer team and they were on the two track teams. And they were key components of all three.
Yeah.
Avery Wilson was the track guy who he scored the winning goal in the soccer final against Campbell back in November. So, you know, that was a pretty good story. And the other champion we've got is Sauhegan Girls Tennis, another team that went to the finals the year before. Didn't lose many players, lost two kids one kid from their lineup, two kids from their roster, come back and just went right through like a knife on melted butter all the way through the season. I think they beat Portsmouth 5-2. They didn't lose any. They were unbeaten the whole year.
Yeah.
They beat Portsmouth 5-4 in the season opener.
Mm-hmm.
And they only lost six individual matches the rest of the season.
Wow, that's insane.
Until the final, when they beat Portsmouth again, 5-4.
Wow.
They came down, they took two out of three doubles in both matches to win the championship. And pretty incredible. It's funny. I always love it. How many people go to a tennis match? Right? Not many. Regular season tennis match? You know, you could have one in my backyard if you wanted to, you know?
Yeah.
You know, where I am now. Nobody, you know, no one goes to them, right?
Right.
Except maybe a couple of parents and they'll show up towards the end. You go to one of these, and you got a doubles team that it comes down to, you got everybody watching that one match. These kids don't play in front of that.
Yeah. That's I was talking to a Massachusetts coach about this in tennis, and they won the state championship. And I said, no other sport, you know, maybe track, I guess, but no other sports there where you're just playing your normal match or something, and then it's like nine matches going on, eight matches, then all of a sudden it comes down to that final match. Now everybody congregates to your match.
Like everybody,
you don't know that going in ever. You don't know if you're going to be that match.
A couple of years, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Alvern was in Division II. They still are in Division II in girls, and they played Portsmouth in the finals, and that went down to their number three doubles.
Right,
not even the number one, number three. Those kids don't play in front of anybody, and they had everybody watching their match.
Yeah.
So unbelievable, really.
Yeah. You get that spotlight for sure. There's no brighter in that moment than a tennis state title. That's clutch.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt about it. So that's what we had in Division I baseball. Bishop Gurdon almost upset Pinkerton in the quarters. They lost 3-2. Pinkerton ended up losing to Exeter in the semifinals 12-2. And Exeter ended up winning the state championship, beating a low seed Winnicott. I think they were like 11 or 12. And they played in the finals. One semifinal had like 10 versus 11. And that was Winnicott against, I don't know who the opponent was. And
Salem,
right. And they were low seeds in the semifinals. Those were held here at Holman Stadium, and the finals were at Fisher Cat at the Northeast Delta Dental Stadium.
Ah, should have went right down the road for me.
Yes, where the media restrictions were fairly numerous.
Get out of here! They bothered you at a high school game,
at a high school championship game. Don't walk on the grass. All the post game interviews had to be done up on the concourse in section 108.
Oh boy.
I dared talk to a kid while he was waiting for his teammates to pack up, and I had a Fisher Cats employee come over to me and says, "What, do you think you own the place?"
Oh god. the double A security is intense.
So my message to them, and I'll say it here, and I said it in print, and I've said it to other people. Look, Fisher Cats, if you don't want to host it, don't do it.
I know.
If you don't want us there, and that includes the media, and it's basically the media. If you don't want the media there, don't bother to host it.
Yeah, you know, because Tom King, Nashua Telegraph, is really gonna ruin.
You know,
he's really going to ruin the turf when he walks on it to interview a kid who just won a state title.
Now, I can understand them wanting to get everybody out of there if it wasn't the last game, right? I understand that.
Yeah. Move them along.
The problem with interviewing on the concourse was you had all the parents, everybody screaming the whole bit. It was really tough. And there's another media outlet that does the New Hampshire sports page. They do a little thing with the players, you know, are you happy you won the championship? And they all go, you know, well, the poor John Stark kids were right there. They had to sit there. They had to stand through that where normally they're far, far away from all that.
That's awful. Yeah.
You know, it's just not a good thing. The parking for us and the media, you know, we used to be able to park out back easily and just go right up the stairs to the press box. Oh no, we couldn't do that. Nope. I showed up at the lot they assigned us to, and the guy said, you know, if you had come 10 minutes earlier, you might not have been able to get in because the game before people were leaving. And I'm like, you know, what are we doing here?
I know.
You know,
I've covered Massachusetts state title hockey games at the Garden, and I got to sit in like Neely's luxury box. They didn't give a damn. I mean, I had Diet Cokes in the fridge, you know.
Don't get me started on the arena. In Manchester, on Snow Arena, because they're unbelievable. They're worse than they were at the Fisher Cat Stadium.
Wow, what is it in the air in my town?
What it is you've got entities that aren't used to hosting state championship events.
It's different.
Or they say they are, but they don't have people who work it that are used to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's plenty of parking. No, no, you can't park there. That's not for season ticket holders. Well, they're not here. Come on. Advertise, they're not here.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You know, and they got to be making some money, right? The high schools or the state of NHIA has to pay them to host that,
I would imagine there's a contract that's signed. And from what I understand, you know, I think we're locked in for another decade of games at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium. I know the Silver Knights in Nashville, the Summer Collegiate League team, they would love to have the finals, all four finals at Holman Stadium. The semis are at Holman Stadium.
Hmm.
So they would love the Division I semis.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
they would love to host, I don't know if they want to host all four. I'm not sure, but they would love to have it there. But, concession money, right? They get the contract and they get the concessions.
Yeah.
So, the way that we were treated, another writer, the same thing, this same employee was, you know, hounding him too. And it was just, you know, I dared talk to a kid I talked to all year down on the field and standing right next to him. I've got my phone recorder. I just put it in front of him, ask him three questions, and I walked away.
Right. Yeah, it's easy peasy. And then they're going to bother you for that kind of stuff. Did you at least get the press box access and like Wi-Fi and stuff?
Well, I don't need the Wi-Fi so much because there's no more deadline because I'm online only.
Right.
So I do all my work at home. I was down on the field. I was down in the stands and the areas where we can shoot photos.
Okay.
So I went up to the press box at the start and got a lot of, all the lineups and everything else. Then I went right downstairs. I'd rather be downstairs in the air and see and get up close. And I got some great shots at the end of the game, celebration shots and all that. But there were media members that were in the press box that weren't photographers. They were not allowed to go down on the field. Now, how do they know that they're not, not photographers? Because they can use their cell phone to get a shot. Yeah. So again, just not, why make it difficult?
Yeah. One of my favorite ones was the just getting into like a high school tournament field hockey game at a random field. You know, that was always tough. Like, where's your media pass? Where's this? Where's that? You know, just let me sign the sheet. Let me in. I have a notebook, you know.
Right. You know, really, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's, you know, you've got to get these venues, and of course, they want the venues, so they're not going to make a big stink about it, the NHIAA. I don't blame them for that. But, I mean, again, these venues don't want to host it. You know, there comes a little bit more responsibility when you're hosting it than you think. And if you don't want to deal with that, then don't bother.
Yeah.
And that's my message.
Don't mess with the king. The king has the power of the power of the pen. You know,
that's it.
He'll tell you, what's going on. Tell it like it is. Tom King, Nashua Telegraph. Let's finish the final minutes here. Give it a quick summer preview. What's on the docket for the Nashua Telegraph?
Well, we got the Nashua Silver Knights, but they have a big night coming up on Friday. Butch Hobson is returning to town. The former Nashua Pride manager, the independent league team that was in Nashua for a decade. Butch was the manager for most of those years. They are honoring that. They are honoring that franchise. It's called Turn Back the Clock Night. They're having all sorts of guests and people affiliated with the team and throughout its tenure here in Nashua.
Yeah.
But the main attraction will be Hobson and the entertainment mascot that the Pride had. You may have heard of him. You may not have. Monkey Boy.
No.
Google it. I won't go into it. Google it. And you'll see why.
That's funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Google it and you'll see and catch the act and you'll see why it's popular. This guy comes back. Okay. All right.
I will. It's on the list. Right.
So that's a big thing for the summer. We get the stadium golf tournament. It's way on the other side of the state, Rochester, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Our local guide, it's always probably the best golfer in the area, James Pleat. I'm going to be talking to him soon to find out what his plans are for the tournament and what Rochester Country Club kind of challenge that it presents, who some of the favorites might be. And that tournament starts, I believe, let's see, I think it's the 8th of July, somewhere around there. Nice. On Monday. Is that a Monday? So that'll be that week. The American Legion season is underway. I haven't dove into that too much. Yeah. We did not have a team in Merrimack last year. We do this year, from what I understand. So then we have Nashville and Merrimack in the senior circuit, and that's what we've got. And that'll take up a little bit of time. The tournament is at Holman Stadium, the state tournament. And that's at the end of July. Of course, I usually take off for it. So somebody there to do it. Yeah. But, that's, you know, we got a lot of youth tournaments going on, things like that. And that's what we've got this Friday night. Also this Friday night is the annual Chad All-Star game. The Children's Hospital at Dartmouth. This has replaced the Shrine game. The Shrine game still exists, but this is the preeminent all-star football game now. The Shrine game used to be New Hampshire, Vermont Shrine game. This is the East-West. This is an in-state game, more local kids, Team East versus Team West. It's going to be at St. Anselm College Friday night, 6 o'clock, very popular event. That'll be a big thing. I had a little bit of news this past week. The Riviera University athletic director resigned, Jonathan Harper, to take a administrative position in the athletic department at St. Anselm. Huh. So Riviera will be looking for a new AD, and that's a shame because everything seemed to be stabilized. When Jonathan got there, that started a little bit of a turnover in the athletic department. Now he's got all his coaches in place, the people that he wants in place, the whole bit. And now that's all changed. Yeah. So, because he's leaving. So how do the coaches feel? What are they going to think? Are the new AD going to try to, you know, push them out? Because Riviera had a record successful year, 10 teams making the postseason.
Yeah.
Throughout the school year. So that's a big deal. And two of them were in championship games and one of them won a championship. So,
yeah.
And you know, men's lacrosse had the first home NCAA game ever. So, yeah. And they won it. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. We'll have to be following that over the course of the summer as well. Football starts August 15th.
Yeah, Deputy Director of Athletics for External Relations. That's what Jonathan Harper will be.
That's a funny way of saying next in line for the top spot.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Right hand. Yeah.
Phil Rowe's been a longtime college administrator at a bunch of schools, including the now defunct and now closed Daniel Webster College. And my guess is he's probably looking at, you know, retiring eventually.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to groom Jonathan Harper to take that spot when it's done. No one said that to me, but that would be my guess.
All right, Tom King, Nashua Telegraph, follow him there. Let's close it out. The sports desk of Merrimack Valley is operated by a free Zoom, so let's have a proper goodbye and welcome you back mid-August. We'll do a summer recap and a fall preview. How's that sound?
Sounds good, Dominator.
All right, Tommy, stay cool.
I'll try.
Talk soon, buddy.
Yep.
Bye now.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen, or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street, in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget, whether it's temporary or permanent. Granny Self-Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Granny Self-Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Granny Self-Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All right, the King, Tom King, thank you for your stellar interview as usual. Seasonal appearance, chock full of insights. No one covers New Hampshire sports better. The Granite State's own, Thomas King. Nashua's, not novice, that's not a good one. He's a veteran. The Nashua King, how about that one? Nashua King. All right. So we're wrapping up here. I have some final thoughts. It's Little League season, Little League All-Star season, the time when kids throw down their Braves, Athletics, Red Sox uniforms and represent their town. They wear their town's team and city's proud. Lawrence, Bethuen, Draken, Andover, North Andover, Chelmsford. Looking forward to covering this, seeing who emerges out of, I think it's District 14 for the Merrimack Valley. So usually we like to get the champs on the show, and what happens is they have the district level, goes through good part of July. Champions get into the sectionals, which is like the Sweet 16. There's four sections in Massachusetts. That's a grueling sectional, by the way. You got four games in 4 days. Grueling on the pitching staffs and the pitch count and all that, all the rules. Have round robin, and then two teams make it to the finals, and whoever wins that final game on Sunday, it usually is a representative in the final four. So the Merrimack Valley teams will have a chance. You'll get at least one Valley team into that sectional, so Sweet 16, and then see what happens. Massachusetts Little League, good stuff. So good luck to the kids, good luck to the coaches. Parents, give them a break. They work really hard now. Get used to it because the All-Star practices are intense. I remember Swampscott Little League. Got to warn the parents. We go every night. We go every night. This isn't like, Tuesday night only type practice. No, you go every night, and then you play the games you don't practice because it's do or die, baby, and it's fun. And if you keep winning, guess what? You get to go on TV eventually. ESPN covers the Williamsport final tournament, the American tournament, and then the international one, and then you have an American versus the international. So I love it. Thanks for tuning into the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. Here on MSONewsSports.com, Danny Martin in the background doing his thing, and Paul Kelly running the ship. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next week, July 3rd.